Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's 5 o'clock, straight up and down. I'm going to call our meeting to order, but before we go any further, I'm going to have my council member Bob Norton to lead us in a word of prayer.
Yeah, I'll pray with you, please. Lord, thank you for the day. Lord, just thank you for the rain that you sent. Lord, just thank you for the citizens that took time to come tonight, Lord. I bless this community and bless this council as we make decisions for the city. Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll turn her over to their CAO, city clerk, Jacqueline.
Special call meeting's recessed, and we're entering the public hearing portion of the meeting. From the presentation that I sent out to you, the compensating rate set forth by the state of Kentucky this year is 20.4 cents per $100 and 38.49 cents per $100. The personal property is an increase from last year, which is 34.1 cents, and the real property rate remains the same. The proposed rate for a 4% increase in revenue is 22.9 cents per $100 and 43.21 cents per $100 on the personal property. The difference is we make about $1,000 more this year on the compensating rate from last year, and the 4% rate will generate right at about $50,000 in increased revenue this year over the compensating rate. The additional revenue is to be spread out to cover police, street, and fire department replacements, infrastructure maintenance, debt obligations, and general operating expenses. I went back to find tax increases for the city of Katy. I went back in this portion as far as the year 2000. I find no records indicating we took above the compensating rate, and I find no records of there being a hearing for the tax rate, which means they've never taken the substitute or 4% rate in that 25-year span. In that 25-year span, labor costs have risen 107% in the southeast portion of the United States, of which we are a part. Inflation itself has risen 70%. So the question is, as our revenues decline, how has the city lasted this long and been able to stay in budget? The initial reserves that the city had have been exhausted for many years. They use that up, and it is no more. We can't use it because it doesn't exist. We have band-aided everything: the sewer system, equipment, water systems. We've diminished the amount of the number of employees that we have. Every department is at least one employee short from where it was in 2000. And we've done that to compensate and maintain 3%. About 3% COLA increases every year for the remaining employees. As attrition has allowed, when somebody leaves or retires, their positions just were not filled. We bypassed capital investments to maintain existing services. We're to the point now that capital investments have to be made, and we are going to have to start cutting services. Kind of one that kind of stands up for the city of Katy is the street sweeping. We cannot afford a new street sweep. And at this point, it's cheaper to buy one than it is to fix what we have. It's band-aided together, and I don't know how long it'll last. Maybe another 10 years, maybe tomorrow. We don't know. The most valuable piece of equipment that remains on the street sweeper is the LED lights on the cab. Unfortunately. The city has implemented alcohol tax. It's been used. It's restricted by state statute, so its use is primarily used at the police department because it deals with alcohol enforcement. The insurance premium tax has been increased over in previous years. I find in the records the issue with insurance premium tax is volatile. You don't know up or down from one year to the next. I keep looking and listening to the economists. Are we headed for a recession or not? I don't know. They don't know. So I don't know how. We can't rely on that as a state source of revenue. We have supplemented large expenditures with grants. This is something that we look into multiple times a week. Thing we will go over at the next regular call meeting is how many grants we've applied for, how much we've managed to put our hands on and be awarded up to this point. Had it not been for the COVID money in 2019, I don't know how the city of Katy's made it this long without. But those funds are now gone. Those have been used up. So at this point, we need to seek out additional sources of revenue. Council members, there's a little four-page document that I put on your desk there. For historical context, I had some time and went back and delved into the record books. As far as I could read, trying to assess where we stood and what history tells us for the city of Katy's. I went back as far as 1930. I can find no hearing where tax rate has been increased above compensating for 95 years. And until 1965-ish, the tax rate for real estate was 75 cents per $100. When the Commonwealth kind of moved away from some of the old common law in the mid-70s, that's when we see the changes. We see the lower real estate rate pop up, and then a few years later we see the addition of tax on personal property. The real estate tax is something that affects everybody, any of the city residents. If you own property within the city, it increases your tax rate. Personal property deals primarily with businesses. The increased tax rate is a substantial hit on businesses. It's quite a bit higher because the tangible property in our assessment from the PBA office this year, personal property has diminished a little over $2 million. So even at the compensating rate, this year's compensating rate is the highest personal property tax rate in the city of Katy's history. And the 4% just makes it that much worse. You will notice the trend. It's kind of up and down as far as your real estate taxes in the past 40 years. But you will also notice that the last 2 years, the compensating rate is the lowest it has ever been. So what we're asking for with the 4% is for us to go back to tax rates equivalent to 2022, actually cheaper than 2022. I have also added some diagrams in there as far as our potential growth. And I will say this, that potential growth represents a 4% increase this year and every year till 2035. If inflation continues at a steady rate, if we're talking about the historic trend, which is about 2.5 to 3%, the city of Katy's looks at a potential 10% growth in the year 2035 if we take the 4% every year. If we're hit with inflation rates from the past 5 years, that average has been 4.25%. We are still at a loss. So I don't know where to tell you to judge that. This is just my best guesstimation, and I'm no economist. So the compensating rate is a cut in revenue. It always has been, it always will be. The 4% is not a 4% increase in your tax rate, it's a 4% increase in your revenue. And that revenue, the way the state compensates for it, does not include new properties, nor does it include higher assessments. So when it comes into account, one reason we remain at the same compensating rate as last year is because our entire assessment went up about $500,000. That's it. And I know most of the people in here, my house is within the city limits. After this last PBA assessment, it's quite a bit higher. So how did we drop? And the personal property is worse. Like I said, it's over $2 million drop in personal property. And that goes primarily with businesses. The best I can come up with is the chunk of that is going to belong to P.J. Clark, because that was once a thriving business, which is now kind of a blighted lot. wouldn't be like roses. Once they had to pay personal property taxes on their inventory, and that building's empty. So as we lose retail, we lose that personal property tax. As far as the compensating rate, since the year 2000, you're talking about 26% of buying power that you lost. A dollar in the year 2000, about 73 to 74 cents now. In addition to labor going up and materials. The 4% option, like I said, every year is just to keep pace with inflation, nothing more. We have cut costs where we can. We've cut manpower where we can to the point that we probably need to start talking about adding some manpower in a couple areas. Police department has fewer people. Street department, water distribution, water treatment, the sewage plant. Everybody is using less people now than they were 10 or 20 years ago. The rate on a $100,000 home on the 4% versus the compensating rate is about $25 a year per $100,000 of value. The personal property rate is quite a bit more. You're looking at a $40 difference per $100,000 value. I don't know how many businesses in the city limits have $100,000 worth of inventory that they are required to pay that tax. The biggest plus I can come up with is we just don't have many of them. Because like if Wildcat Chevrolet was in the city limits, that'd be expensive, really expensive. And maybe something else we need to keep mind on in the future. Why we're asking for the 4%, as far as public safety and readiness goes, we're in pretty good shape. But as you all know, the police department carries the lion's share of public safety expenses for the city. We have tried to supplement that. Right now we're at about $70,000 worth of grants that didn't require matches this year to help supplement that. Our infrastructure, like we keep talking about the sewer and everything else, we have to have assistance there and people. We've got good people. We have good employees. That's one of the big benefits. It's one of the big benefits that I've seen since taking this position is how capable your people are, especially your department heads, and you get what you pay for, and I would really like to keep them. We cannot rely on the growth alone on these higher assessments, because as the assessments go up, your tax rates go down. That's why we're looking at 20 cents now instead of the old assessments prior to, say, 2015, we're at 26 cents. Where do we go? Well, the assessments went up and the tax rates went down. That's the way compensating rate works. It does not address the tax rate. It addresses the revenue the city brings in. That's where the adjustment comes in. Why are we talking about the 4%? Well, the 4% is the cap. It's kind of the guardrail that the state legislature put in, legislation put into effect. It allows for growth for municipalities. At the same time, it limits the amount a city can put on its residents. It's basically the fairest option. How much is enough? Well, the state says it's 4%. To do 4% is an annual vote, an annual hearing, and we have to remain transparent. You have to explain why you want it and why you want to keep it. As far as predictability goes, this is about the best we can do. Obviously, not everybody pays their taxes, but the personal property and real estate property are the least volatile of your revenue sources when it comes to taxes. Now, I put out a lot of information. Does anybody have questions of me?
Jack, quick question. The personal property tax rate is actually calculated based on the real property tax rate, right?
Initially, that's how the 4% is initially taxed. They are combined and multiplied by, without any growth or any new revenues, which in all reality, our new property rate is abysmal. $30,000 is how much the assessment is going to be. And we lost a significant amount of, as the assessments go up, our aging population is taking advantage of the tax relief.
So,
as they take the homestead, so even when it comes to new revenues, you will see that the assessment went up by about $1.95 million, I believe, and the assessment went down because of homestead by 1.9.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else have any questions? I'd like to commend our CAO for going into depth like he did to get this done for us. I know everybody in this room doesn't like to pay taxes, and I'm one of them. But this is not a thing that you want to do. I think this is a thing that we have to do and we need to do in order to still provide our services for the city of Katy's folks. I would not dare say that, yes, I've had phone calls on this. And after I explained to them what it was, they sort of had a little way of understanding this. So that's what I like to say, and I appreciate my council members. Jack sent this out to them to try to get a heads up for them to read on this. And I do appreciate the people inside the city limits coming tonight to express their concern about this. And like I just said, I'm going to repeat myself, I don't like to pay taxes either. But we, just like Jack has said, we have band-aided our equipment to the point that we can't band-aid it no more. Right now, we can't afford to hire anyone. We had a gentleman retire, and I didn't want to hire no one else full-time, because once you hire someone full-time, you're talking about benefits or paycheck and everything. It's quite a bit. So I went off and hired a part-time worker to help with the street department 2 days a week. He's retired, so therefore we didn't have to pay no benefits. So I'm trying to operate the city's expenses just like I would on my own business. You can see that if you don't have the funds, you don't have the money, you can't go no further. Like Jack mentioned about our sweeper, we use that sweeper 2 or 3 times a week to sweep the streets, the main streets. And we can't band-aid that no more. I'm not saying we pass this tax. We're going to go out here and we're going to buy a new backhoe and a new sweeper and 3 brand new trucks. We're not doing that. We're going to use this money to help, because we're in a bind. I'm going to be honest with you all. And it's nobody's fault. As Jack mentioned about the COVID money, you know, we wanted to do this 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. We didn't want to put the hardship on our people inside the city, so we use their COVID money. Now you're going to ask me the question of why you want to put the hardship on our people now. We're bleeding. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not saying our city's going to go bankruptcy. I'm not saying that at all. But it's to the point that we've got to do something. We've got to do something now. So that's my input. And if anybody else would like to say anything, you're more than welcome to do that at this time.
Yeah, I've got a question for Jack on the back page on translates to homeowner. So if you got a $200,000 home, it's going to cost you about $50 more per year. Is that correct?
That will compensate.
Okay. Okay. Well, I certainly don't want to see services cut. I think we rely on a lot of these things. You know, you think of snowstorm, cleaning the streets, getting out and making it so people can get to work. That's a very key factor in what our city does, and I appreciate that. And that could be the next thing cut. I don't think we want to do that.
I think cutting services, too, is which one would you cut?
Because what do you do cut, first?
One you cut, somebody may not want that to be cut, and some people will want to cut, so it's a hard one to do. And I don't know if you can get an agreement on what to do.
Like Todd said, none of us want to pay more taxes. None of us. But whatever we vote on, we live here and we have to pay it too.
There's nothing we take lightly.
No, not at all.
This is nothing we like to do, sure.
Anyone else?
Well, I just want to reiterate what you said, Todd. I mean, while it is an increase, I hope people will also see that keeping the compensating rate means about $1,000 additional in revenue. Taking this increase means about $50,000. Now that sounds like a lot of money. When you look at operating the city and the expenses and trying to prepare for the future, it is a drop in the bucket. But like you said, we have to start somewhere. Some of this, in order to receive grants or matching funds, which we go after very heavily, you have to have funds to match with those grants. And right now, we don't have that. Because we don't have the reserves set aside. And that's one of the reasons for the sewer increase. It's trying to prepare for those eventualities, knowing that we have an aging sewer system. Operates fine right now. Our public works departments have done everything they can to make what we have as efficient as it can be. But we know it's not going to last forever. And I think there have been a lot of reasons why we've kicked the can down the road. Over the years, particularly with COVID years, but I just don't think we can do that any longer.
Anyone else?
It's now open for public comments.
I guess that may be me.
Yes, ma'am.
Tammy Mason, Sunset Circle, and my whole thing changed. So originally I was going to talk about, so I can't prove, you know, the whole 20-year thing, but I'm going to go by Mr. Lingenfelter's because I can't do that research that he did. But I'm going to change all of this. So I've always been the guy that spoke for the people that can't speak for themselves or the underdog. And I still am going to do that. So there's a lot of people that can't come today. There's a lot of people that are scared or don't know how to come to a council meeting or don't even know where the door is. There was quite a few in here that didn't know where the door was and won't come or won't speak. And there's a lot of people that might not make but $1,000 a month. And I want you guys to think about those people. So you think $50 a year, $100 a year, it's not a lot of money. And you know what? It's not going to hurt me and my husband, but it might hurt them. And those people are the ones that I think about. And it's those people that they might have to skip a meal, pay their water bill late, and you talk about, you know, bad debt with water bills. Those are the people that you need to think about when you think about passing this. So I totally understand we need to think about it, the compensating rate and the 4%. If you looked at Facebook at all today, Meals on Wheels just got cut. We have seniors that aren't going to have food in 2 weeks. And so stuff like this, we sit and we talk about it, and I can look around everybody in this room. I think we're not going to have a problem with that 4%, but I have a neighbor right now that she's going to actually have to make a decision on whether maybe in, what is it, October we pay our bills, whether she pays or whether she eats better in October or she has to pay her property tax. So we can sit here and we can sit and discuss it, but she doesn't have a choice. And I don't think, I mean, do you think about it? When you sit and you vote, do you think about it? Because every single one of you that has come to my door, you vote for us. And you're up here, and I know you're thinking about the city, but you actually vote for us. And you have to think about those people when you knock on their door. Most people move into the city. I would say most of them are elderly that move here because the hospital's here. Your money's out on the lake. It's just point fact. I looked up statistics. In 2020, our poverty level in the city was at 19%. In 2021, it was at 16%. In 2023, up until now, we jumped to 25%. We have a lot of empty houses. People have lost their houses because they cannot afford to keep their homes. We have people now that can't even rent because rents are $1,000 and up. You know, I own the Mason Jar. Right next door, that place is $1,000 a month to rent a two-bedroom. Okay, people cannot afford to live in the city. We know we've got new low-income housing coming in. Wonderful. That's going to be great for somebody, but that's not going to do anything. They're not homeowners. But people come to the city that are elderly. These are the people that 4% is going to hurt. Not going to hurt me. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you. And it's not going to probably hurt anybody sitting up here. But you have to think about the people that actually live in the city that it is going to hurt. So when you think about this compensating rate and that 4%, especially the every year, that was the comment that got me. Every year. I totally get what you're saying, that to get out of the hole, but we didn't create the hole. So maybe when I can't, when I have to pay a bill because I overspent at Christmas, I have to do something different. I have to look somewhere else. Maybe we don't need a street sweeper. Maybe we do something different. We don't have that many curbs. I don't know what the answer is, and I need to maybe come to meetings to find out where everything's going. I go to fiscal court. I don't come to city council. Maybe I need to come. That's my own fault, and I understand that. Maybe I do need to come. But 4% every year, I guarantee you're going to buck up against a really rough system. But the people that actually live here that need to live in the city for the services that the city offers, like the hospital and the doctor's offices and the things like that, they can't afford that. They cannot afford that. And I really hope that this council does not do that to these people that can't afford it. I have a neighbor that can't. She will have to move. I can't move. My house floods. I cannot move. I would move out of the city, but I cannot. Everybody knows my house floods. That's a whole other story. But please, please, please think about these people that cannot afford it. 25% poverty level in the city of Katy's, 1,300 people. Please think about them.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else like to have time to speak?
She said it all.
Anyone else?
Could I say something? About
yes, ma'am.
You know, Tammy, I thank the world of you and you always support me, and I appreciate that. But we do think about those people. We're not just thinking we need a street sweeper or we need something fixed or we need some money. you know, we have put this off for a long time. I've been on council for a while, and we have, like you said, we have not increased it. We just figure out a way to keep on going, figure out a way to make it do. I wish Craig Oakley was here tonight, our maintenance and superintendent. He could tell you, when you go to buy something, you all know, you buy a loaf of bread or you buy a gallon of milk.
We pay that too, just like y'all.
And the same thing.
We're fighting the same inflation.
When we go buy a water meter that seems like nothing, just a thing in the hole, I forgot the increase that cost us.
It was like three or four times.
And we're having to eat that kind of stuff too. And we're having to fix things that don't cost like a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread. It's major infrastructure that you all can't see that is old and worn out. And we don't want, I mean, I sure don't want to go home tonight and my toilet not flush. I don't want to be to that point. And I don't think that we're there yet. But we have to start making some decisions, hard decisions. And like Bob said in his prayer, that we do the right thing for the people. That's who voted us here, and that's who we represent.
We need some businesses here that'll pay some taxes.
Well, we wish we could have them.
Let's work on that.
We have.
Let's get a task force. I'll be on it.
But, you know, at the same time, we're just as hurt by hurting people like you're talking about as you are. We don't want to put nobody in jeopardy. It's going to happen. It breaks my heart. These meals have been taken away from these home deliveries.
Yep.
And people say, well, get a new governor. People, it's not the governor. It goes where you don't even see it go. People just jump to the conclusion, oh, he did that. No, he brought the message. You can't kill the messenger. Same thing with us. We're just the people that's having to stand behind this, six people and the mayor to stand behind this and say, we don't want to do it, but we don't have a lot of choices.
There was a lady came to my store today living in her car, came to me. I don't know why. Maybe because I was coming here today, this divine intervention, showed up at my building wanting to know the number for the Red Cross, which we don't have anymore. She showed up there asking me for help. Why at the mason jar? You think you go to Helping Hands or the food bank. But she showed up there. A complete stranger customer gave her $40 for food. And I was like, I'm going to tell this story. I'm going to cry because it just broke my heart.
Sure.
But that's happening in our city.
Well, she's asleep in the park.
In a car.
It's happening across the nation.
Well, I know, but it was just because it touched me. Because I deal with that on a daily basis for people, and that now I'm going to lose my neighbor. I'm going to give her the money to pay her taxes because she can't.
So the state requires that we put the tax, the ad valorem tax, if I have to. Mm-hmm. And like all these things that you mentioned, poverty's going up. People are having harder and harder times every day. We have to stay on budget. We have to stay on task, just like every household in the city does.
But I can't ask anybody for money. I have to figure it out.
Well, you say that, though. Out of all these people, all of us in this room included, who has not had a pay raise since 1975?
Me.
You and the city of Cadiz. The city of Cadiz has not increased any taxes. Their tax rate has consistently gone down.
But you do get more money when our buildings are our stuff. I was assessed at $45,000.
No, because the tax rate goes down.
As
the assessment goes up, the tax rate goes down. That's why.
It technically does.
That's what people understand.
Everybody pays a lower tax when that happens. Because it's like we said, even with this additional rate, we're going back to the tax rates of 2022. We're not even as high as 2022. We need that bump just to stay with inflation, with natural growth. And as poverty and everything increases, guess what? Giving them a tax break like they've been doing for the past 50 years has not improved. The rates continue to rise. So, and I don't know what the answer is to that. But I know that...
I mean, you can't be working with less money every year if people's money...
And it's not a matter of, hey, we made $400,000 this year, okay? Next year, we're going to make $400,001. The problem is we made $400,000 a year in 1975, and we're making $400,000 today with increased manpower, increased costs, all that stuff. What we're trying to do is set us on a trend to put us where we can hold. At the very best, if inflation holds at its national average over the past 20 years, we're looking at a 10% growth in 10 years.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so that's what it is.
But with all the other taxes we get hit with, the insurance tax, the property tax, the school personal tax. Property tax, well, that's school not them. Tax. The school tax is something else. and then we've got the sewer fee now on our water. We're getting hit. The citizens have got hit everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. And then you throw this on, wait next year, and then let's see if these apartments pay you really well.
And even like the apartments, if that's something that happens, that's great. Because we just paid $120,000 for $400,000 worth of sewer upgrades. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to cut and put this money and use the taxpayers' money. Because even then, we're paying 25 cents on the dollar for improvements. We're going for grants. We've applied for $350,000 worth of grants this week. You know, it's not from lack of effort, but a dollar today is going to be worth less in 2035. And that's what we're trying to make up for, because that's what we've been handed historically. Right now, we are trying to work on a 1975 budget in 2025.
As far as departments, I believe anybody in this room would give up $120,000 to get $400,000. Anybody in this room would do that.
Should.
I have a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't live in the city, so it doesn't technically directly affect my, but do you feel that this raise, I hear a lot of talk about people are going to have to move, we're going to have to go, but is this not happening in every community around us? I just saw that Hopkinsville was having a very large jump. Princeton was having a jump. Murray, So, and those are maybe bigger cities, but I mean Princeton is not. But is this not pretty common? What's going on around us right now? Is everyone having to do this, and we just haven't been doing it? It's what's causing the shock for us now.
Most of your areas around have been doing it for years, and they're in better shape.
But they took one. They took the 4% 4 years ago, but this year was the fourth straight year they took the compensating rate.
Right. So they've set themselves up prior to the assessments going up.
But they're lower.
And right, theirs is lower. Most everybody around us.
But they have all the money. They're on the lake. They have all the lake properties,
right,
which is a lot of money coming in.
And your surrounding areas are the same way or bigger. You know, high and rich. We just don't have the assessed value that they have.
So this is common throughout.
Right. Because, okay, like I said, the 4% is not directed at the tax rate itself. It's directed at revenue increase. Because just on the personal property, that's a chunk. That's like 12% tax rate. I've got nothing for it. We are where we are. And what's the most objective reason?
But that's continued to go up through the years, correct?
Yeah, it's been pretty steady because it's a relatively new tax. But as far, like I said, the ad valorem tax is one of those things that the state requires that the cities put out because we're limited. We can't. It would be nice if we had another way. If we could have a local sales tax, you know, with 1% more. That way, when we have the people come in, especially during tourism season, we're getting more of their money. We're taking the burden off of the local taxpayer. We're not allowed. That's not an option for us. Just like our restaurant and our itinerant taxes. The city doesn't spend that. Every cent that comes in goes right back out. It goes strictly to tourism. We can't touch it. And it's a chunk. It's more money than we're talking about here.
That's just like our municipal road aid money. We only get $50,000, $60,000 a year. That don't go nowhere for asphalt. I promise you on that.
We used to go 75.
Yes.
We don't get it down. And we used to get $75 a ton. Now it's $125
a ton. Yes, sir, Scott.
You were talking about 4% for the next 10 years. So you're thinking you're going to have to raise 4% next year and the year after and the year after that
This is just a plan to stop the bleeding. Because every time you take the compensating rate, you essentially make less than the previous year. Because that rate doesn't account for anything else. If we were to hit a recession, or if we, just like the year during COVID, you know, where inflation was so rampant, we're just that much worse off. That's why the short-term inflation is so much higher than the long-term inflation.
Yeah, I can't afford to live in Katie's then. And I can't afford to get out. That's my property.
This is just, the 4% is essentially us asking for our cost of living increase every year. You know, most of your employees get a 3% on average, depending on what company you work for, to make about the same kind of money, same buying power this year as they had last year. Does that make sense? That's where we're at. We're at the point where just to stabilize we need to match inflation. And if inflation stays closer to that 3% mark in 10 years, we're in better shape. We're in good shape. You know, we can maintain those services and maybe make those big infrastructure upgrades that we may need. But as of right now, we are still taking the same pay that we took 50 years ago. It just hasn't increased. Any other questions?
I just think it's going to put us out of the ballpark as far as people coming here.
Our tax rates are higher.
Yeah, they're really, I mean, like in a seven county area, they're really high. But we want people to come here.
Absolutely. Especially if we can drive in or pull in more business and keep people here to spend their money here. But as we look at, like, the homestead exemptions go up every year because we have an aging population. And that's just part of it.
And we can't
ask those people for more. And they've been part of the community for years, you know, and they're a vital part.
Right.
But as our taxes go up, there's in. And that's fine because I hope I make it to that age.
You'll get it one day.
That's it. And I'll be like, I don't take the 4%, you know, and I get it. But it's a hard question with simple answers, but they're hard answers. And it's just a matter of which way do you want
to
go.
But getting people here, I mean, to get people to move into the city, if we even mention that doing this for the next 10 years, people are not going to move here.
Maybe.
They're not.
Maybe. Because when we talk about rhythm,
like we look horrible because there is no jobs, there's no income here. You cannot make any money here.
We got to have the businesses come in.
I mean, what do you make here? Transcraft is your biggest employer in the hospital? That's it.
The school and the hospital.
The school, I'm sorry.
You're right. I mean, that's it. And where's Transcraft?
What's max income?
I couldn't even tell you what it is.
$20 an hour?
I don't think it's that high.
Probably not.
Because I know, like, the city of the city of Katie's employees, most of them might get $20 an hour.
No, I mean, how can you afford $1,000 a month rent and then these taxes? They can't. They cannot. You're talking, you know, $100, $200 extra a year times 10 years.
How many people in the city of Katie's have a house value of over $400,000? Because that's how much your property would have to be worth to hit $100 a year.
Okay, $50 to $100 a year, depending on where you're at.
But that's where we're at.
Well, I mean, let me tell you, I went up $45,000 in a year, and I live on Sunset Circle, honey, so.
I'm around the corner from you.
And I flood.
I'm around the corner from you. And
just saying.
Everything's done. You know,
So they can assess you where they want.
Everything is going up.
Yeah, it is.
And this is just another dig.
I'm just saying, we are not going to look good to anyone if we can't get a business here now. Imagine trying to do it in 2 years with the rate going up every single year. We're not going to look good to anyone.
And my business
then is going to flounder.
We need to draw in
Scott's
more
business is going to flounder.
But you do realize, like, the sewer is so bad right now.
Oh, I know
that. We can't put people on it.
I'm paying for that. I'm trying.
Yeah, and that's where we're at. I'm not looking at it. This is not going to fix anything today. It is not. This is to put us on a path for growth in the future. That's, like I said, it's a hard question with hard answers. Where do you want to be in 10 years, in 20 years? Because, yeah, my taxes are going up. I hope we will be able to grow and bring in more businesses. Well, what's the tax rate going to be for my kids if I can keep them here? I've got to look further than the next year. I have to. That's the nature of the beast here. It's not today. It's the future. If you need a shade tree, the best thing to plant a shade tree is 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. The second best time is today. You got to do something somewhere, sometime. Like I said, it's a hard question. And it's just a hard answer.
I just think it's going to kill the city. We're already half dead.
Anyone else?
I do.
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate all what you guys are doing, but I just wanted to know if you have considered, because you were saying that a lot of positions aren't filled with the city. Have you thought about, like, police, city police? utilizing a reserve officer who you don't pay.
It's not legal.
It is definitely legal.
It's not legal for the city of Katy's.
How come?
Because state law says sheriff's offices can have special deputies, but municipal police departments have to have a minimum of a minimum number of officers and a minimum number of residents within the city that the city of Katy's does not meet. And versus the sheriff's office can bring anybody in as a special deputy that's untrained, just puts on a gun and goes out and polices. But we are required that anybody
that's
that works.
That's about every county in the United States.
But it's directed at the counties.
Right.
Because the sheriff is also a constitutional position.
Right.
For city police departments, anybody that works for them, free, volunteer, as a police officer, has to be certified. So it costs us. It's not free.
So you're saying you could have one, but the city can't pay?
The city has to pay. The city has to pay for his training. They have to send him to training
every year. No, not if they're already certified. What I'm meaning is like a reserved, retired police officer.
The city of Katy's can't do it because we don't have the number of officers and the population of the city of Katy's is not big enough to qualify. Bigger city departments have the option, but they have to be trained. They have to maintain their bomb certification.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That's state law.
It is, and I didn't know it was a number on the department itself.
No, because the state legislature's had issues in the past, and they keep bringing up like the constable issue and the special deputy. But you got a sheriff's office in some counties that have a sheriff, and when it comes time just for the local Christmas parade, they need help. And those are the guys they bring in, you know. So it's restricted by state law.
Well, also you could utilize interns, like from the colleges.
I would encourage you to come to next month's council meeting, regular call council meeting, because that is on the agenda. We're working on it. it's just new business that we can't bring up in a special call meeting.
Oh, and then utilizing, I'm sorry, one more, equipment like a stop sign. Instead of ordering a new one, just repaint the old one. That saves a lot of money.
But that's on the state. We push it off completely to the state until they can come in and replace it.
Oh, okay. All of our signs in town
except,
are that way?
Now, local roads, we still push them off to the state.
Well, they've forgotten.
They've forgotten. Yes.
I don't even think they know we exist out here. That's all I have, but I'll come to the other meeting.
If you have questions along those lines, we are trying. We are, the buffalo's hollering on your nickels. We are trying to squeeze.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Well, I like to say, I'm sorry, but I've received one call. And that was a good call. You know, we talked about what was going to happen and how I felt about it too. And the fact that we both were going to pay taxes. And I understand about the people that you're talking about that might have a problem, excuse me, paying their taxes. A lot of those are renters. Is that correct?
No. Homeowners. They're homeowners. They just happen to own their home. They've been here. They're older and they've been here. These are your senior citizens that live in the city.
And they have applied for the reduced benefit.
Yeah. It still hurts
them. Sure they all have.
SSI pays $967 a month.
I'm talking about the benefits for their taxes for the
homestead. Yeah, they get their homestead. But still, they make $967 a month. Homestead still fluctuates.
I know, but I'm afraid people I talk to don't always apply for those things. They don't, maybe it's because they don't know about them or what, but they don't apply or, like you said.
Well, and SSI recipients are not always older. They might have had a disability from when they were younger and they've gotten SSI all their life. They might be just be disabled. They might be, you know, ADHD and in their 40s and 50s, not qualified for it yet. Some of them have known about it. I went door to door, so I talked to several people in my neighborhood. But some of them get it, some of them do not, for whatever reason they do or don't. But they, most of them I have told about it. But at 900, think about it. If you could live on $967 a month, think about that. There's people in this city that make $967 a month on SSI, and that's what they live on in this count, in this city. Several that I spoke to, SSI. And that's what they live on. Now, they get food stamps on top of that, but we all know how far that goes nowadays. So it's just the poverty is 25% out of 1,300 homes in the city. And we're raising taxes. 25% poverty.
Anyone else?
Things I would say that would sound not caring. excuse me. And we talk about, we talk about all these people that need special consideration. And that's true, but we also have to provide for everybody. I mean, if the fire department, if nobody volunteered anymore because we couldn't afford to keep it up, I was here when we, our fire department, our vehicles were old and decrepit. I mean, they couldn't hardly work. And we bought a new one, but not a new one, we bought a used one. They have been refurbished. And that's the kind of thing we try to do. But we can't do anything about water lines and things that deal that are underground that have to be replaced because what we've got now wouldn't probably meet the requirements. But we have to do that. And it's... I mean, everybody is concerned about that and cares about that. It's kind of like sometimes you think we're flippant about it, and I don't think that at all. There is thought put into it. There is looking at, I mean, I've been on for a long time, and it's looking at what we had before and what we could do before and what we could do now is not a lot more. If any, and I don't think there's been a lack of concern over the years at all. They just tried to stay, and every time, you know, year after year, to stay at the fixed rate, not to move anything up. It's never been a rash judgment on anybody's part. And like you say, most of us can pay that, but some of us, it's easier than others because there are a number of people in here, right, that are on fixed incomes that do not have hope that it's going to go up a lot. But, you know, we pay the same taxes. We're not in the same position as everybody, as others might be. But it makes, we just can't exist this way. We just can't keep everything going this way. And, you say we're going to lose the city. Well, we're going to lose it if we don't have the water that's going to go to everybody's houses. If we don't have the sewer system, that will work. We have problems with mine this week. And, you know, that were my problems. But you just don't have those opportunities for everybody, and it needs to be for everybody, and that's the other side of that. It's going to be hard, but everybody needs these things in their homes. Everybody needs water. We were boiling water a month ago or so, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, how do you do this? But it was a problem, and it was a pain, but somebody was telling me that's like one of the very, very, very few times we've ever had to do that because everything's been kept as best as possible up to par. And our city people, they work as hard as anybody trying to do the best dollar by dollar that they can. It's not been, and I said this before, it's not been a lack of concern. It's been wanting to know how much we can do with what we have. And we're at the point that we can't do the best for everybody with what we have. You know, I can say the same thing over and over, and it still means the same thing. So, plus you don't want to hear me with this one. But anyway, that's just some of my thoughts.
Thank you, Ms. Bryant. Anyone else? If not, we're going to close the hearing out. And
first reading of the tax rate ordinance, City of Katy's, Kentucky, ordinance number 25-06. An ordinance levying ad valorem property tax rates for the City of Katy's, Kentucky for 2025, adopting the Tree County assessment and providing for billing, penalties, interest, and collection. Whereas pursuant to KRS 132-285, the city may, by ordinance, elect to use the annual Tree County assessment for properties situated within the city as the basis of city ad valorem tax levies. Whereas the city finds it efficient and economical to use the county assessment for city property tax purposes. Whereas the city must annually set tax rates on real property and personal property for the assessment date of January 1 of the tax year, and may establish a motor vehicle and watercraft ad valorem tax rate subject to the limitations and certification deadlines in KRS 132.487. Whereas, if the city proposes to levy a real property tax rate that exceeds the compensating tax rate defined in KRS 132.010, the city must comply with the public hearing and notice requirements of KRS 132.027. And whereas the city has considered the revenue needs for essential municipal services, including police protection, street lighting and maintenance, planning, and general operation, be it ordained by the City of Katy's, Kentucky as follows. Section 1, Adoption Continuation of County Assessment, KRS 132.285. The city hereby elects to use the annual Tree County assessment of all real and personal property situated within the corporate limits of the city as the basis for city ad valorem tax levies. Section 2, Tax rates for 2025 assessment. Assessment date. The assessment date for city ad valorem taxes is January 1, 2025. Real property rate. The ad valorem tax rate on real property shall be $0.229 per $100 of assessed valuation. Personal property rate. The ad valorem tax rate on personal tangible property shall be $0.4321 per $100 of assessed valuation. D, motor vehicles and watercraft pursuant to KRS 132.487 subsection 2. The ad valorem tax rate on motor vehicles and watercraft is $0.262 per $100 of assessed valuation, which does not exceed the rate that could have been levied on the January 1st, 1983 assessments. If levied, the city clerk shall certify this rate to the Department of Revenue on or before October 1st preceding the assessment date. Section 3, billing, due dates, discounts, penalties, and interest. A, due dates and discounts, taxes are due and payable as follows. Face amount is paid by December 31st, 2025, thereafter a 10% penalty. Interest accrues at 1% per month or fraction thereof until paid in full. B, interest. Interest shall accrue on all delinquent city taxes at the rate of 1% per month or fraction thereof from the date of delinquency until paid in full. Section 4, severability, repealer. If any provision of this ordinance is held invalid or unconstitutional, such invalidity shall not affect the remaining provisions, which shall remain in full force and effect. All ordinances or parts of ordinances in conflict with this ordinance are hereby repealed to the extent of the conflict. Section 8, publication, effective date. This ordinance shall take effect upon publication. Date of first reading is September 25th, 2025.
And this is only the first reading. So we will not have a vote on this tonight. This is only the first reading. Any discussion? Like I said, this is only the first reading. We will not vote on this tonight. We will come back tomorrow night at 5 o'clock and have the second reading of this. You have to go on the two readings.
It's 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock? My fault. 6 o'clock tomorrow night. 6 o'clock tomorrow night.
And Todd, will you explain why we're meeting tomorrow night and not waiting until the first meeting in October?
Because you can explain it better than I can, anyway.
We'd like to have the tax rates out and available so we can start printing. State law states October 1st for those that do not print their own, which we do, so we try to stay close to that. It's more consistent.
That's the only reason for that. Any more discussion? We'll move right along with it.
Reading of the nuisance ordinance, first reading, ordinance number 25-05, City of Cadiz, Kentucky, nuisances. An ordinance relating to nuisances within the City of Cadiz, Kentucky, and amending Code of Ordinances, Chapter 92. Whereas the Cadiz City Council desires to ensure that the City of Cadiz, Kentucky continues to be a desirable place to live and do business. Whereas the Cadiz City Council recognizes that various nuisances jeopardize the desirability of the City of Cadiz, Kentucky as a place to live and do business. And whereas the Cadiz City Council recognizes that various nuisances jeopardize the health, safety, and welfare of residents and visitors, be it ordained by the City Council of the City of Cadiz, Kentucky, as follows. Ordinance number 25-05 is hereby enacted and shall read in full as follows. Section 1, Amendment of Code of Ordinances, Section 92.03. Section 2, Amendment of Code of Ordinances, Section 92.05. Section 3, Amendment of Code of Ordinances, Section 92.99. Section 4, Severability. Section 5, is effective date. Section 1, Amendment of Code of Ordinances, Section 92.03. Code of Ordinance Section 92.03 is hereby amended and shall read in full as follows. Unless imminent danger exists on the subject property that necessitates immediate action. Upon determining that a violation of Section 92.01 or Section 92.02 exists, the city clerk or his designee or the code enforcement board shall cause a written notice to be served on the owner of the property where the nuisance exists. Posting the notice on the premises where the nuisance exists shall be sufficient notice. Subsection B. The written notice required by this section shall set forth the following. 1. The nature of the nuisance. 2. A statement that the owner of the property shall abate or remove the nuisance within the notice. Within the deadline provided in the notice. Section 3. A statement that if the nuisance is not timely abated or removed, the city may cause the nuisance to be abated or removed. Charge the owner of the property the reasonable value of materials and labor spent abating or removing the nuisance, and the city shall have a lien on the property for the reasonable value of materials and labor spent abating or removing the nuisance. And Section 4. A statement that the owner of the property shall have the right to a hearing before the code enforcement board regarding the alleged violation, if requested, within 3 business days of service or posting of the notice. Subsection C. The owner of the property shall have the right to a public hearing before the code enforcement board regarding the alleged violation, if timely requested, as set forth in this section. If no such hearing is timely requested, it is waived. Subsection D. If the nuisance is not timely abated or removed and no public hearing before the code enforcement board is scheduled, the city clerk or his designee may call for the nuisance to be abated or removed. Charge the owner of the property the reasonable value of materials and labor spent abating or removing the nuisance, and record a lien in favor of the city on the property for the reasonable value of materials and labor spent abating or removing the nuisance. Subsection E. Performance of the procedures set forth in this section shall not be a prerequisite to the filing of a criminal case against the owner of the property pursuant to sections 92.99 and the filing of a criminal case against the owner of the property pursuant to section 92.99 shall not constitute a waiver of the city's authority to abate or remove the nuisance pursuant to this section. Section 2. Amendment of the Code of Ordinances, section 92.05. Code of Ordinance Section 92.05 shall be retitled Review by Code Enforcement Board and shall read in full as follows. Except for any criminal case pending in any court of competent jurisdiction, the Code Enforcement Board shall have the right to review, modify, or void the decisions promulgated by a city officer employed pursuant to this chapter, and the provisions of this chapter may be enforced by the Code Enforcement Board. Section 3. Amendment of Code of Ordinances, Section 92.99. Code of Ordinances, Section 92.99 is hereby amended and shall read in full as follows. Subsection A. Pursuant to KRS 83A.065, Subsection 2, a violation of any provision of this chapter is expressly made a violation subject to a criminal fine. Any person violating provision of this chapter shall be guilty of a violation and shall be fined not less than $25, no more than $250 for each offense. A separate offense shall be deemed committed on each day during which or on which a violation occurs or continues. Subsection B. Pursuant to KRS 83A.065, subsection 4, a violation of any provision of this chapter is expressly made a violation subject to a civil penalty. Any person violating any provision of this chapter shall be guilty of a violation and shall be fined not less than $25, no more than $250 for each offense. A separate offense shall be deemed committed on each day during which or on which a violation occurs or continues. Subsection C. Pursuant to KRS 83A.065, subsection 7, a violation of any provision of this chapter may be enforced by any one, all, or a combination of the remedies authorized by this section, subsection D. The city shall be entitled to recover all costs and reasonable attorney's fees incurred by the city in enforcing any provision of this chapter. Section 4, severability. Each section and each provision of each section of this ordinance are severable, and if any provision, section, paragraph, sentence, or part thereof, or the application thereof to any person, licensee, class or group is held by a court of law to be unconstitutional or invalid for any reason, such holding shall not affect or impair the remainder of this ordinance, it being the legislative intent to ordain and enact each provision, section, paragraph, sentence, and part thereof separately and independently of the rest. Section 5. Effective date. This ordinance shall be effective immediately upon its publication. Date of first reading is September 23rd, 2025.
And this is only the first reading. Also, we'll come back tomorrow night for the second reading at 6 o'clock. All right. Discussion.
What is considered? Are you considering like a nuisance? Are you talking about like junk cars?
Junk cars, trash, rubbish, tall grass, and weeds.
Got my vote.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me. I can ask a question. This yes, also ma'am. Applies to abandoned or vacant buildings.
I don't believe that's the same.
This is not abandoned and vacant buildings. It's not abusive. There's a totally different code for that.
That's what I thought. It's a nice
code. The biggest change in this ordinance is that it allows our code enforcement officer to assign a fee that is payable to the city and not us having to rely solely on the district court where all those payments are made there.
So it's a civil matter and not a criminal
matter. It actually makes it both.
Yeah, I heard you. I just wondering how that was going to work. But thank you.
Yeah,
I'm good with that.
No public comment from me on that one.
Me neither.
Who's
going to
enforce it?
At this time, council will go into closed executive session pursuant to KRS 61.810. Subsection 1C for discussion of proposed or pending litigation against or on behalf of the public agency. I must at this time ask all members of the public to leave the room. If you would like to come back after closed session is over, we will open it back up. No vote will occur during closed session.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you all.
Are you taking action?
We discussed the closed session as far as the property tax. Well, I guess we're moving to the
only reaction after.
I'll see you later. Bye, Tim.
Bye-bye.